Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Salim Muakil, Carol Felsenthal, and Judy Barr Topinka. Our program tonight coming to you from our studios at the XM Sirius Studios on Chicago's Great West Side, where our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. This is our first live broadcast of 2009, rather. Issued running is a little bit late, and it's nice to hear you. In fact, we're going to even hear the theme song one more time just to give everybody an opportunity to let you know that you're coming, that we're coming to you from our new home at the Sirius XM Studios in Chicago, where things are having a little problem, some technical problems at the beginning of the year. But our resolution is we will only improve from where we start this evening. Tonight, we're going to spend some time talking about this issue that will not go away. It is the issue of who is going to be the next United States Senator from Illinois. And it comes at a time when the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, Harry Reid, was on Meet the Press today. He went very, very far in discussing the governor of the state of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich. He was talking to David Gregory, who's the new host of that show. And I might say, just parenthetically, because he's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, I think David Gregory is doing a very good job as the new moderator of Meet the Press. So I offer him our hearty congratulations and a job well done thus far. He was interviewing Harry Reid. The subject was Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and all the brouhaha surrounding Governor Blagojevich's attempt to put a to make an appointment to the United States Senate, specifically the appointment of Roland Burris. And this is what David Gregory, in his questioning with Harry Reid, had to say.
Blagojevich obviously is a corrupt individual. I think that's pretty clear. And the reason that he's done what he's done is divert attention from the arrest that was just made of him and the indictment which will be coming in a few days, according to the U.S. Attorney in Illinois. That's why President-elect Obama agreed with us that Mr. Burris is tainted, not as a result of anything that he's done wrong. I don't know a thing wrong with Mr. Burris. It's not the person that has been appointed. It's the appointee.
That was Harry Reid. And one of the questions that I would like to ask, because there are many characters in this drama over the last several weeks that I don't think enough questions have been asked. And that is one person I would ask more questions of if he was here this evening. I'd ask more questions about Barack Obama. Barack Obama had an interior investigation about what he and his staff did insofar as the filling of his seat. And then you will recall very quickly after the arrest of the governor, Harry Reid, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, said absolutely that no appointee made by Rod Blagojevich would be accepted by the United States Senate. That was a pretty emphatic thing, but it happened, I believe, within 48 hours after the arrest of Governor Blagojevich. And yet we also have, and everyone knows, that the number two man in the United States Senate is the senior senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin. Now, one has to assume that at some point in the discussion of Illinois politics, the number one Democrat in the Senate, Harry Reid, had to have a conversation with the number two Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin. And so that Dick Durbin was part of that initial very strong statement by Harry Reid that we're not going to take anybody that this guy sends us. And now we have the Illinois governor appointing, making a selection of Roland Burris, and we'll talk about Roland Burris as the program unfolds this evening. But I want to ask you, Salim Muakil, are you somewhat, is it curious to you about Senator Durbin's role in all that is going on? Because it seems to me that Harry Reid on Meet the Press today went further out on that limb. He is standing very hard and firm against Roland Burris, although he opened a little bit of a bit of light at the end of the interview, but he was pretty firm today.
I think he was firm because he was a bit angered that the Blagojevich people leaked the conversation he had with him regarding who the Senate picks should be. And so I think that was some of his anger coming through. I too would like to discover how deeply Durbin was involved in this. But I think it's reasonable to assume that Durbin saw the arrest as kind of a culmination of this long, all of the speculation that Blagojevich would be hit hard by the prosecutor. And I think many of them interpreted this dramatic arrest as evidence of that. I think it was a bit premature, as we see now, but I think that's how they interpreted it.
Carol Felsenthal also joins us. She's one of the top freelance writers in the country. She's done an extensive investigation into Bill Clinton, which is the subject of your current book. But you love political intrigue. You're a great investigative journalist. What do you make of all that's going on with the various players within the Illinois political circle that now are playing on the national scene?
It's a total mess, and it's the reason why I love to write nonfiction and politics, because you couldn't make this stuff up. You also have Harry Reid in this conversation with Blagojevich urging the governor, this is before his arrest, several days before his arrest, not to appoint three African-American men, namely Jesse Jackson Jr., Emil Jones, or Danny Davis, who in fact, he happens to be my congressman, Danny Davis. He was offered the opportunity before Roland Burris was offered it by Blagojevich. Also, Durbin is one of the first people to urge Barack Obama to run for president. I don't know how personally close they are, but politically they are very close. And Durbin, I think when the history of this race for the nomination in the general election is written, I think Durbin will be one of the key characters in bringing this all about and getting Barack Obama out there. So I can't believe that what Durbin is saying is different from what Barack Obama believes. And one more thing, which is that Harry Reid and Dick Durbin have agreed at the request of Roland Burris to meet with Roland Burris.
Right.
And that light that you mentioned before was Harry Reid saying, I'm an old trial lawyer and I'm always open to negotiation, which led me to believe when I heard that he's getting that he is
He has accepted
the inevitable that they will have to seat Roland Burris.
Well, we are hearing, I mean, where I was on vacation the last couple of weeks, and again, wherever I went, people were talking about Rod Blagojevich. They were not talking about Barack Obama. They were talking about Rod Blagojevich. And so what
and
we
laughing.
Have here, and they're laughing at Illinois, they're laughing at the state, but really, Barack Obama has been upstaged by Rod Blagojevich. They'd be upstaged now by Roland Burris and some of the other political forces in Illinois who are not very friendly to Barack Obama. So I want to talk all about that because Salim, this is all on Salim's watch, and we're going to hear from him. And I want to hear from you as well, 1-800-723-8289, your take on Illinois politics.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh, boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat-screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car-shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call GEICO, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call GEICO, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
From Sacramento, California to Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. 723-8289 is the telephone number, and we're talking this evening about the ongoing battles in the state of Illinois between the governor, Rod Blagojevich, and who has been arrested, as you know. He is now governing the state of Illinois. He has every right to make the appointment to the United States Senate, a seat that is now vacated because of Barack Obama's ascension to the presidency. And in the course of doing that, there's been quite a bit of controversy because this past week he named Roland Burris. Now, Roland Burris is not a name that many people around the United States knew before last Tuesday. A lot of people know his name now. Roland Burris, I would describe, because I've covered him for about 30 years, is a respected, elected, long-term politician in the state of Illinois. He was the first African-American elected to the statewide in 1978. He served three terms as state comptroller. He served one term as attorney general. And as is the case with many candidates who become very popular down the ticket, if you will, you get to feel your oats. You think maybe you can ready to run for a big job, and you run for a big job, and things turn south. And what happened with Roland Burris is, after winning several elections in a row, he ran for governor three times and was rejected by the Democratic primary of voters of Illinois. In 1984, he was rejected by the Democratic primary voters of Illinois in a five-way campaign for the nomination to the United States Senate. That's the Senate primary that was won by Paul Simon, who went on to become a distinguished United States Senator and a presidential candidate a few years later. In 1995, Roland Burris again was on the losing side of a race against Mayor Richard M. Daley for mayor of the city of Chicago. So he's about 500 right now as an elected official. But Roland Burris clearly was a senior statesman. He was a former vice chairman of the Democratic National Party. And I would say that most people who knew Roland Burris or worked with him on either side of the aisle, he was a very likable, affable person. He was actually picked out of the Continental Bank of Chicago by Richard J. Daley initially to run for office. He got him involved in young Democratic politics. So this is a guy who, historically speaking, was a foot soldier, if you will, in the regular Democratic Party, went along, got elected. And I will let Salim Muwakkil sort of expand and elaborate on what I've said, and also bring in some of these other characters that are now part of the national discussion and drama involving this race in Illinois.
Well, Roland, as most blacks who hold statewide office, even today, had to have kind of a politically bland temperament reputation. He wasn't in any way, I guess you could say, exceptional. He was extremely competent. He was a comptroller, which is the money man, and so a lot of people looked at him as someone who had a lot of technical expertise, a kind of nerdish guy, policy oriented, not much for ideological grandeur or any kind of.
He was a money guy. He was a finance guy.
Exactly. And when those positions opened up for the governor's position, he never lost. Incidentally, he has never lost against a Republican. All of his losses have been in primary races. He's established somewhat of a reputation as a solid, respectable guy in Illinois politics, but pretty unremarkable. When he ran for mayor, he didn't really excite that much. He tried to upgrade his rhetoric and become more excitable, but he really couldn't do it. That's not his temperament.
Let me just interject here for a moment, and I realize we're talking about inside politics and inside baseball here, but again, all of these decisions, when you look at where the connections are somewhat interesting. Mm-hmm. If you're following the story, you realize that the Secretary of State of Illinois, Jesse White, has refused to certify Roland Burris. Mm-hmm. That's one of the pieces of paper you're supposed to have when you go to Washington, as Roland Burris is going to do on Tuesday, mm-hmm. to accept this new appointment to the United States Senate. So Jesse White has said he's not gonna certify him.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesse White is very similar to Roland Burris.
Very similar.
They are contemporaries in virtually every way.
Exactly right. He has a statewide office, as Roland had. He's only the second black office holder to hold such a position. And he has really a ministerial function in this. He has no autonomy in preventing Burris from assuming this position.
Why would he take a position like that? Again, here's a guy who's in his, I think, maybe 70-plus himself. Mm-hmm. Roland is 71 years mm-hmm. old. They both grew up in the Democratic machine. Why would Jesse White, again, a very popular statewide elected official in Illinois, why would he stand up right now and say, you know what, I'm not going to certify this guy?
I think the landslide, you know, he's part of the landslide has begun. He's just been captured and carried with it.
He was asked by Harry Reid not to certify it, and he is a personal friend of Roland Burris's, which makes it even more interesting. But he doesn't have a leg to stand on, and Roland Burris has taken this to the Illinois Supreme Court. Jesse White will be ordered to sign that piece of paper. And Roland Burris will be allowed to take a seat in the U.S. Senate. There's no other way for this to work out.
Unless the Senate refuses to seat him according to, you know, they put his name up. They have some procedure in which they question whether his appointment was done by nefarious means. And they have a 60-day window, I think.
They bring it to the Rules Committee, and then they let it linger and linger and linger.
They want the impeachment to move forward faster.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then
so they want to fast walk the impeachment and slow walk this Rules Committee thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Harry Reid on Meet the Press today acknowledged conversations that he's had with the Lieutenant Governor Patrick Quinn, where he said Patrick Quinn may appoint Roland Burris.
Well, any,
in fact,
anyway.
I frankly, at this particular moment in time, I don't know how Pat Quinn, if he got to be governor,
I don't know how
he could avoid appointing Roland Burris now.
Mm. Well, I think he could.
Because there's nothing that's been said or uttered about the integrity of Roland Burris.
He's only been ridiculed, and he took, and that's a shame, because at age 71, he's, you know, John Cass in the Chicago Tribune today calls him Tombstone, the senator from Tombstone.
Well, John and Cass is ridiculed.
That's what he does. But
well,
also,
Roland has a tremendous ego.
And it makes him seem almost clownish. I mean, we know about his daughter Rolanda, his son Roland Jr. We know about the space at the top of his tombstone to add these other jobs. So he seems like a headline that I think was in the Tribune a day or so ago, an empty suit for an empty seat. And I think that's a shame. And I think
That's the way he's perceived nationally. A lot of people are calling me from the East Coast and, well, who is this Roland Burris guy?
Right,
is he as comical as they portray him?
And Governor Blagojevich, who people were ridiculing as being not the sharpest knife in the drawer, turns out to be extremely shrewd.
This was a brilliant political
move. Brilliant indeed.
But again, to put it in context, there is nothing in Roland Burris's background to suggest there's any issues of integrity in all of his public career that I can recall, with one exception. And again, it was involving when he was the Attorney General.
Rolando Cruz.
There was a question about Rolando Cruz. That's a long story for the national audience, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily germane. However, we will put it in context is that Roland Burris has one of the largest egos of any elected official
there's
a lot of egos in that field.
I'm telling you, I don't know.
And I think if you were in a room with Roland Burris, he'd make a case why he should be on Mount Rushmore as well. But I digress. Judy Bart Topinka has joined us. Traffic a little bit tight tonight, but we're delighted that you're here.
And interesting subject. Yes, Pat Quinn can't choose someone else. I mean, even in the list that Barack Obama sent via over to the to Blagojevich when this thing was still legitimate and on the up and up and not crazy. Never at any time was his name mentioned. Was it included in anything like that? Does he have an ego? Yeah, it's probably the only one who really agrees with it is probably himself and his mother. You know, that's about it. But
agree with,
by the way, let me mention for those that have just tuned in, Judy Bart DePinka is a guest, one of our guests this evening. She is a Republican. She ran against Rod Blagojevich and lost.
Yeah,
for
sorry
governor.
About that, guys.
And she was also elected four times the state treasurer of Illinois. And you were the first. Were you the first woman elected statewide?
No. Dawn Clark Netsch, I believe, was.
Was
she was a controller. She was elected first.
Did you serve with Roland Burris?
He would have been in the AG's office, Attorney General's office, when I was in the legislature. I mean, we would have passed. We dealt with each other. I mean, I've dealt with Roland. I mean, he's a nice fellow. He is extremely pompous. You know, that's just the way it is. And as I said, he was on nobody's list to become U.S. senator. If I were choosing a U.S. senator, it would not necessarily.
Well, he was on the way. He was on the way to retirement.
Well, exactly. I mean, and he should have stayed there because he was retiring at the top of his game. Everybody thought he was a nice elder statesman. He had nothing particularly wrong with him.
But now he's
nothing particularly right.
That's exactly what qualified him for this position.
Yeah, nothing particularly wrong. Nothing particularly right.
Back shortly from Chicago.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When my husband or kids have sore throats, I know I have the touch that can relieve their pain. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. Its targeted nozzle puts the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription right where you need it. Fast relief starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
Nothing soothes like a mother's touch and Chloraseptic.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Judy Bart DePinka is one of our guests. She is a noted now political operative and political commentator, having spent much of her political career as an elected official and also once upon a time was a reporter with a journalism background. Also joining us this evening is Salim Muwakkil. He is the senior editor of In These Times, one of the country's leading progressive periodicals, who's been covering African-American politics and Democratic politics and independent politics in Chicago for a long, long time, over 30 years. And also Carol Felsenthal joins us. She is one of the leading political writers in the country. She writes for the Huffington Post, and she's written a new book on Bill Clinton.
Right. I'm updating it for paperback.
You should be updating it.
I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah, well, looking at all of his donations, and there's a front-page story in the New York Times, which was pretty interesting today, about Bill Clinton taking $100,000 from a developer in Syracuse who Hillary helped push legislation through to make the mall work. So I got to take a look at that.
Okay. Well, again, a man who will not go away.
Right.
May not go away. In the first segment, Carol, you were referencing the Meet the Press conversation today between David Gregory and Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. Harry Reid, in response to one question, was responding to published reports, primarily in the Chicago Sun-Times, that Harry Reid allegedly did not want Jesse Jackson Jr., Illinois Congressman Danny Davis, or Senate President Emil Jones to be considered as replacements for Barack Obama in the United States Senate. Once again, David Gregory.
Let's talk about those conversations you had with Governor Blagojevich. Apparently, you made it clear that three men were not acceptable to you: Jesse Jackson Jr., Danny Davis, Emil Jones. And yet you just said Jesse Jackson would be fine. Is that what you said, that these men would not be acceptable?
This is part of Blagojevich's cloud. he's making all this up. I had a conversation with him. I don't remember what was in that conversation other than the generalities that I just talked about. I didn't tell him who not to appoint. He's making all this up to divert
attention. Don't you think these conversations are on tape?
Of course.
For the U.S. Attorney's investigation?
But that's right, and that's why what he's saying, he's making it up.
So he's wrong. Jesse Jackson Jr. was always acceptable to you.
Jesse Jackson Jr. is somebody that I think would be a good senator. And for Blagojevich to start throwing out these names of people who I wanted and didn't want, he's making it up.
Wow. You're picking a fight with the majority leader of the United States Senate. And Harry Reid went on and became, I think, quite exercised about his attempts as a member of the United States Senate to try to increase the number of African Americans in the Senate. He's really taken exception to the story, and the implication of the story is that that Harry Reid is using his clout and is usually extending his clout to the other members of the United States Senate
to
keep a black man from entering the Senate.
Well, the story, though, says basically that these folks he believes are not electable, that they could go for the 2 years, fill in the hole, and then not be able to make a comeback.
Which isn't
and
even true.
Which I don't think makes any sense.
Yeah, right. And Jesse Jackson Jr.'s polls.
Oh, my
now,
goodness.
There is
I mean, he's
polls,
quite electable.
They,
and
he's
you know,
electable. Emil Jones is not.
Emil Jones
Danny
might
Davis,
not be.
May not be.
But let's talk about how this story has been reframed. This is now the fourth week we've talked about this subject on this program. Mm. And each week the framing is different.
Indeed. I mean this fits the narrative. Many of Roland Burris's most avid supporters are bringing in this racial angle very strongly because they see it as an attempt to prevent this country from having a black senator. And so there, you know, when word leaked that Harry Reid made these suggestions, it inflamed the black community. And when it was in the Sun Times, you know, Lynn Sweet piece mentioned these particular names. And so when Harry Reid says that Blagojevich was lying, I'm wondering if Lynn Sweet's source was from Blagojevich's team, or did she get it from someone who's heard the tapes of these particular exchanges?
You know, there's another aspect to it, too, which is that supposedly Harry Reid said, don't pick these three African-American men, but do pick Tammy Duckworth, who's Blagojevich's Veterans Affairs person, or Lisa Madigan.
Attorney General
of Illinois and daughter of a mysterious, he's a guy I'd really love to write about, a powerful
person.
Well, he
is the chairman, I mean, The chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois is also the Speaker of the House in Illinois.
Whose daughter is the Attorney
whose
General.
Whose daughter is the Attorney General.
And wants to be governor.
And he has not been quoted at all in the last month.
You can't.
The man is silent.
I've been trying to interview him for so long.
At the same
long,
time, Mike Madigan is very smart about that because one of the things I know he and someone else once told me was if you don't say something, you can't be quoted. And so as a result,
Mayor Daley used to say that.
That's right. I got it from one of Mayor Daley's people, and he was absolutely right. It will not make the front page of any newspaper if you just shut your mouth, and that's exactly what he does.
But let's go back to the press conference.
And I think people would claim he has conflicting interests as well.
How could you not?
You can't even get to his assistant,
no.
Steve Brown. I mean, it's like you can't get anywhere with this guy.
Well, and Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General, I don't think helped herself when she tried to have the Supreme Court, rule that Blagojevich was incompetent. And that
you know,
and
I was quite
Supreme
surprised.
Court wouldn't
I
even,
had a Southern Illinois newspaper editor call me about that and was just ranting that this was improper and she had overstepped her bounds. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my goodness, somebody from Southern Illinois is telling me this?
Yeah, but it's the first time that anything negative has attached itself to Lisa Madigan.
Yeah, she's
well
thought
of.
And she's kind of earned her place. And if she ran, she probably could be very successful.
All right, I'm going to talk about the framing. By the way, it was 2 weeks ago. If some of this conversation sounds familiar, it was 2 weeks ago on this very program when Tim Wright, who heads the largest African-American law firm in the United States, longtime political operative in the state of Illinois.
And the legal spokesman of Roland Burris.
And
right
now the legal spokesman for Roland Burris. Mm-hmm. But when he was here 2 weeks ago on this program, he was not. But he was touting the candidacy Roland Burris, yes, to my knowledge, he was not. He was touting the candidacy of Roland Burris when a caller called in to be on the Beltway and suggested that the way to really put that for Blagojevich to get back in the game would be to come up with a blue ribbon candidate. The caller suggested, I believe the caller was from Seattle, I believe he suggested Adlai Stevenson to the United States Senate, which would have put Harry Reid in a trick bag. And it was Tim Wright who repeatedly said, well, what about Roland Burris? But there's no doubt in my mind, Harry Reid and the United States Senate are in a trick bag right now.
Yes, yes.
My question to you, Judy.
Yes.
Harry Reid, he walked out on this limb a long time ago, real early, like within 48 hours after the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have done that without having some long conversation with his number two and his friend, Dick Durbin?
I would think he would. I would think that Durbin would be attuned to all of this. That it's turned into something that moves the whole Israel-Gaza war off the front pages is just amazing to me. Something that's that important. And here we wind up with basically, in many cases, a lot of politicians who have never really, let's just say they Peter principled themselves long ago and far away on their respective roles. And now here we see them playing front and center. I mean, and for Roland Burris himself to 2 or 3 weeks ago just come down on Blagojevich as being some unworthy, miserable soul, and I'm just paraphrasing, and then 2 weeks later to say, I'm the candidate, and I really have nothing to do with this man, even though he appointed me, and I live in this vacuum. And I'm thinking that literally, and this is one thing I do agree with that has come up in the newspapers, and I don't know if they got it from me or I got it from them, but I do believe we are at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, that, you know, I can't tell who goes with who and who doesn't go with who and who wants who to what reason.
And Bobby Rush also.
Yeah,
Bobby Rush, longtime congressman from Chicago, also once upon a time a member of the Black Panther Party, as was Salim Mowakil. You go back a long way with Bobby Rush.
And he ran for mayor of Chicago.
Yes.
And bring the Bobby Rush connection in, because he was at the famous press conference
this week
when he stepped up and said...
The press conference was one of the most amazing spectacles that I have ever watched in politics.
Yes.
Roland Burris, I thought, made a fool of himself. He looked incompetent. And there he is with Rod Blagojevich, every sparkling hair in place, dressed with his, you know, nice suit and nice tie. And Roland Burris doesn't know how to respond to reporters shouting questions at him. And all of a sudden, there's Bobby. Bobby's here as if it hadn't been completely arranged beforehand. Come on up here, Bobby. And then Bobby Rush comes up, gives an articulate
I would view question some of the verbiage.
Of why Roland Burris should be the junior senator. But, of course, what only political junkies like myself knew, that a week before, 10 days before, Bobby Rush had totally denounced Blagojevich as a crook and a sleazy politician.
That seems to be the universal
And then for Bobby Rush to come in with the loaded word lynch was really playing what we heard, you know, the phrase race card used all the time. Well, this was definitely an example of it.
And also we should remind listeners from Coast to Coast is that Bobby Rush was once challenged for the U.S. House by Barack Obama. It was Barack Obama's defeat. Bobby Rush is not a friend of Barack Obama's. And what we've talked about on this program is how all of this is upstaging the Barack Obama ascendancy to the presidency. All of this crap in the home state is really screwing up his party. And we're going to talk more about it when we come back. 1-800-723-8288.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I do like to tell jokes. My jokes are pretty corny.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
Knock, knock. Who's there? And it'll be Cal. And he'll say, Cal Moo.
His Match.com username is Junkfoodie, and you can email him right now.
It's never really that funny, but it's so corny they laugh anyway.
With 20,000 new people joining every day, we guarantee you'll find someone special in 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com today for details.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. We're giving everybody Coast to Coast a real insider's look at all the players involved in this brouhaha involving Governor Rod Blagojevich, who has been arrested. He's governing the state of Illinois. The troopers are patrolling the highways.
I'll tell you, though,
everything
about,
is being
it's
done
about
that's
time
done.
He got, you know, because he's hiding away in his office, which he never goes to. But it's about time he started going through who would be pardoned and who would not. There's about 2,000 of these petitions that are on his desk that have been sitting there for the better part of 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm.
But right now, I want to finish up the discussion started before the break, and that is the role of Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush has not been close to Rod Blagojevich in the past. In fact, Rod Blagojevich was helpful to you in your campaign for governor, was he not?
Bobby, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Did he formally endorse you? Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes.
So here. So
there's no love lost
between those two.
Yeah.
And yet in this press conference, he steps up and basically says that he thinks Illinois should have a black United States senator replacing a black United States senator. Mm-hmm. Which is that's a strong feeling within the African American community.
Very strong, and I think he understands that, and I think that's the strongest card that Roland has at this point, and he played it, it's a card that deserves to be considered, and Bobby rejuvenates himself in a lot of ways by appealing to his constituencies on this racial level, this notion of ethnic solidarity. And I think that bolsters his
playing that card, what the country is now seeing is how the race card is played in Chicago.
Mm. They're seeing a lot of Chicago politics.
They are seeing how the race card is played with newspapers, with politicians who have relationships with other politicians. Mm. The world is now watching racial politics at a time when we have a president-elect who didn't want to have any involvement
that's
with that.
Very true. That's very true. I mean, it's very... It's similar to George Ryan. Remember when George Ryan got party...
we all have one.
Yeah,
you have the current one.
We all have these crazy uncles in our families. And I think George Ryan, when he found himself getting in trouble, he kind of played a similar card with this releasing people from death row. And I think that a lot of African Americans appreciated George Ryan for that gesture, and they understood that he may have been doing it to distract attention from his problems, but they benefited from it. We benefited. The justice came out of it. And I think many people are interpreting this the same way. Here's Roland Burris, a worthy candidate who has no blemish on his record, and he may have ascended to this position through, questionable means because of Blagojevich's own problems, but we'll take it because it's justice, and however we can get justice in this racist society, we will get. That's often the argument.
I thought that Roland Burris was being used, and I thought that was very sad. But now you can take it because I believe he will be the junior senator. Now I've read that Roland Burris said that come 2010, he will not run. That's not true. I've seen that statement in print.
There.
He absolutely plans to run. And what I've found in covering politics all these years is that people have a very short memory. Nobody's going to remember anything about how this came about. And Roland Burris is going to have a good shot. And even if the Democrats in the state legislature had done the right thing and scheduled a special election and not let their fear of a Republican winning that special election.
Really the key issue
I think the Democrat would have won anyway. They their strategy was horrible.
In a state that is filled with great Machiavellian thinkers, Rod Blagojevich may be one of the best.
Right.
He may be in a league by himself. He has been plotting his political career since he was 13 years old. In his mind, if he was sitting at this table right now, he would make a case how he could still make it to the White House himself.
Probably.
But in the case of Roland Burris, he has found someone who is qualified. He has found a way to take his thumb and stick it in the eye of Harry Reid in the United States Senate and every national political commentator that's out there. And while doing that, he is also preparing himself for his day in court, where he believes that he would be able to convince a jury, a jury that might be made up of some African-Americans, that he will beat the case in court.
That is extremely Machiavellian, Bruce, extremely.
Am I right?
I think there's an aspect of that.
Does anybody believe I'm wrong on this?
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Roland Burris did one step above Machiavelli. He went the Faustian agreement. he really and truly, you know, played this card and sold out to the devil here.
Maybe in the end not, because I don't think people are going to really think very much about how he got there.
Right.
And I also think that I've written a lot about Rod Blagojevich, and I went back and looked at interviewed his brother, who's also in trouble. Robert Blagojevich. And I interviewed all of his childhood friends, some of whom have subsequently gotten into trouble. This was in 2002 and 2003.
Well, he hung out with a very bad crowd in high school.
And I was at Rod Blagojevich's house interviewing Patty, who was breastfeeding the new baby while I was interviewing
her. That's the first lady of Illinois.
Right, the person
perhaps
we
heard.
Perhaps
to be indicted soon as well.
Yeah. Right. Some fine real estate dealings there.
And I was going through Rod Blagojevich's books with him. And he's a TR buff, Teddy Roosevelt buff. And I'm a Teddy Roosevelt buff. And this guy really knew what he was talking about. And everybody from Jan Schakowsky to Jeff Schoenberg, the state senator, told me this is a very brilliant guy. And then everybody began to think that he was really stupid. Well, he's not. He's shrewder than most.
He's not stupid.
He spends a great deal of time.
He's not stupid. We do have to pause. Judy Bartopink has been here. She'll be here for the next hour. Salim Uwakilov in these times is here. Carol Felsenthal is here. 1-800-723-8029. We have a lot of people on the phone. I'm sorry we've hogged the first hour. We will take your phone calls in the next hour. And also, it looks at this moment like Roland Burris may be sailing to the United States Senate. But there's some new information that I would like to share with you that may cause you to think twice about that. We'll do it in the next hour of Beyond the Beltway. 1-800-723-8289.
With the economic crisis we're facing today, families must take a serious look at their investments to ensure they have protection for their financial future. It's never been more important for you to diversify, to add strength and security to your financial portfolio, and that includes gold. I'm Mark Albarian, president of Goldline. We've been assisting our clients acquire gold and precious metals for nearly 50 years. With stock market volatility, multiple bank failures, and government bailouts, we're in a historic period of economic instability. In these uncertain times, smart investors are looking to diversify and are turning to gold as a safe haven asset that they can count on to bring real value to their portfolio. Call Goldline today at 866-GOLDLINE, and we'll send you a free gold investment kit, a free DVD, and a free copy of our newsletter on gold investing. Protect your family's savings today and call Goldline at 866-GOLDLINE. That's 866-465-3546. Call 866-GOLDLINE today.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at barracuda.com.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You know, one of my favorite places to sing is my car.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
A 1962 Cadillac on a long road trip. I mean, what else are you going to do?
He's Match.com member Crooner Cool, and you can email him right now.
Baby.
With 20,000 new people joining every day, we guarantee you'll find someone special in 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com today for details.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. Hour number two of Beyond the Beltway continues from Chicago, the XM Sirius Studios on Chicago's West Side. Tonight featuring commentary by Carol Felsenthal, one of the country's leading freelance writers, Salim Muakil, who is the senior editor of In These Times, and Republican Party operative and also now freelance commentator herself, Judy Bartopinka, a longtime fixture in Illinois Republican politics. We will go to calls in just a moment. Again, in hour number one, we've been talking about the fact that at this very moment, Roland Burris is attending rallies on the it is his home church, I believe, is he not?
I think Salim? It is his home church, 77th and Cottage.
And he is getting ready. Roland Burris, of course, was the is the designated appointment by Governor Rod Blagojevich of Illinois to fill the seat of Barack Obama. Roland Burris is scheduled to go to Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. He will be meeting with Harry Reid. He'll also be meeting with Senator Dick Durbin, the senior senator from Illinois. And they will be talking about some of the concerns that the United States Senate and the Democratic leadership has in accepting anyone appointed by Rod Blagojevich. Reid has said, in fact, he had signed signatures from all members of the Democratic U.S. Senate, saying they would not accept an appointment, anyone appointed by Rod Blagojevich. However, there has now been that appointment that has been made in the face of that challenge, and it seems to me that Rod Blagojevich is now challenging Harry Reid. He has appointed Roland Burris, who was ran for office five times, five-time victors at the statewide level, first African-American elected in the state of Illinois, and a man who is a former state comptroller and attorney general, and a man who has had no challenges to his integrity at any point in his public career, a man of 71 years. And as I said in hour number one, he's maybe a little egomaniacal, but there's a lot of politicians that would plead guilty to that. Maybe not plead guilty, but people would plead guilty
we
for
found
them.
Guilty.
I put all that out there because there's nothing, and by the way, I've known Roland Burris for many, many years, and what I'm about to share with you, I'm not sharing in an accusatory way, but I think this is the time when some questions should be asked. Anyone that you speak with in the state of Illinois who has covered Roland Burris knows that his best friend and his business partner is Fred Lebed.
Yes.
Fred Lebed, again, a terrific guy. There's never a bad word that I've heard about Fred Lebed. But they do have a business consultancy, the two of them, Burris and Lebed. And in the course of that capacity, Fred, like many others, as like Roland Burris, they're active in community organizations. One of the organizations that Fred Lebed sits on the board of is the Chicago Christian Industrial League. It's a nonprofit social service agency. They provide health to the homeless. They provide counseling. They provide opportunities for homeless men.
And jobs for politicians' wives.
And also, they also recently hired the wife of the governor, Patty Blagojevich, to be their director of development for $80,000 a year. So we don't know whether there is any kind of quid pro quo. I'm not challenging that there is a quid pro quo, but I'm saying at a time when we want to know what is the relationship that everybody has to everyone else, we know that the governor aggressively, because we've heard of the tapes, we've heard the transcript of the tapes, we know how he was looking for something in return for anyone who he appointed to the United States Senate. We apparently have at this moment, at least the national media has said, and we've said in the first hour of the show, there is no direct connection that we're aware of any quid pro quo between Roland Burris and Rod Blagojevich. However, I believe there is a question that needs to be answered, and that is there any relationship at all between the number one advisor to Roland Burris, and is there any connection to an organization on whose board he sits that selected Patty Blagojevich, the First Lady of Illinois, to receive a salary of $80,000 to raise money for a nonprofit?
You know, their firm, they're registered lobbyists in in Illinois and also in Washington. They represent a bunch of different clients, and this stuff is going to have to be disclosed. They range from Comcast to the Illinois Funeral Directors Association, the Illinois Association of Mortgage Bankers. They represent Indian tribes involved in the casino issue, and they represent tobacco manufacturers as well. So that's another thing, because as we were talking, I was thinking, does he have to be confirmed by the Senate? And I thought, oh, no, what are you thinking about? Of course he doesn't have to, but he does, like Hillary Clinton had to do and every other senator has to do, he has to fill out a financial disclosure form. So it's going to be very interesting and controversial.
And we'll give them something to chew
hang on
to,
right.
if they perform this other maneuver that the Senate is threatened to perform.
Salim, the question I raise, is that a question that deserves to be answered?
I think so. Yeah, and I don't, you know, he has to deal with it. I mean, I think that, especially since the Senate will hang on to it. If they don't know, they know now, right?
Well, I hope so. I hope they're listening. I hope everybody's listening to us.
Completely, because, you know, one of the things that is on those tapes and the little snippets that came out in the press was this continual din by Rod Blagojevich, the governor, that he was financially pressed, that he had difficulty. And the man makes $174,000 a year. He gets a free car, all the insurance. I mean, there's a lot of perks there. So let's say all told, by the time you get through with everything, he makes between $200,000 and $225,000 if you take in all the little goodies, not to mention the free housing, which he rejects because he won't live in Springfield. But when you have all of that going, and then, you know, you kind of decide that you're not going to participate in anything here, that he's going to stay apart from it all, and then he grabs Roland Burris. You know, Roland Burris is I feel so sorry for him on the one hand because he's acting like a pawn. He's being used. And then I don't feel sorry for him because he thinks he's using someone else to, you know, and by the time you get through with everybody using everybody else, it's like, is this what democracy is supposed to be all about? You know,
uses everyone.
That's not right. That's not right. Let's have a little higher
utility.
That's why when we were talking about during the break that women should be in these positions
absolutely.
Of power because they don't let their ego. Because Roland Burris is just letting his ego rise to the top of everything, and it's blinding.
And he did donate money. They did donate money as a firm.
Yeah.
So that firm is going to have to come out and say exactly what it's all about.
I don't think. It was by the way,
I will also just say that I think frankly. For any non-for-profit, and again, I'm in the non-for-profit fundraising world, so I'm going to just, you know, there is my admission. But I would say that when you have the wife of any elected official, out there raising money in the non-for-profit sector, that is a conflict. It's unfair, and it shouldn't happen.
Well, you shake people down.
Whether you're the governor's wife or you're the mayor's wife.
But you shake people down. I mean, not even because you physically shake people down, but people are frightened. I mean, I know people who've talked to me about when I ran against Blagojevich. And I'd see my people would go to his fundraisers. He'd make $4 million in a night. And I'd say, how did you do that? And they'd say, we're afraid. We're afraid. We have contracts. We've got bills that have to be signed. We're afraid. All right, there you go.
That's Life in Illinois, 1-800-723-8289. Your calls, wall to wall, when we come back.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When my husband or kids have sore throats, I know I have the touch that can relieve their pain. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. Its targeted nozzle puts the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription right where you need it. Fast relief starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
Nothing soothes like a mother's touch and Chloraseptic.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border, and on XM Satellite Radio. And by the way, we apologize. Of course, it's self-evident that I've got a little under the weather this evening with colds, and I think all of my guests have some degree of malady who joined me this evening. So we're a bunch of four sickos from Chicago.
Welcome to the
talking
clinic.
Talking about Illinois politicians and the corruption that just... runs rampant in this area. Let's go to Jim in South Elgin. You're on the air, Jim. Go ahead. Thanks for being patient.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well in the new year to come.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year.
La, la, la.
You know, one of the reasons, this is going to be a good demonstration to the whole nation of how screwed up Illinois is, and I think the same leadership is going to screw up the whole country. And it's a bipartisan problem. The Democrats are showing their colors. And the Republicans shot a lot of things in the foot when they didn't support the reelection of Peter Fitzgerald, who was an excellent senator, and there was too much divisiveness within the Illinois party, the Republican Party, that screwed it up, and he didn't run for reelection. This is why we have Barack today.
Julie Barnes Pinkham, respond to that.
Yeah, I was state chairman at the time, and I'm tired of hearing this business that the Illinois party did not support Peter Fitzgerald. Twice I offered... Wait, let me finish, please. Twice I offered, as chairman... the endorsement of the Illinois Republican Party so that he could run again, and twice he rejected it, okay? And he wanted to go and watch his kid play Little League or something like that. And he had some banking interest in Virginia, which he has acted on. I am sorry that he did not run. He was my seatmate in the Illinois Senate, a wonderful fellow, and we have much to thank him for in the form of Patrick Fitzgerald, our U.S. attorney. And that's all I can say is we offered it to him.
All right, we're going to move on. Let's go to Jeff, listening to us in Glen Ellen. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. If I could just make a few points, then you can slice and dice them any way you like. And then if you can put some of the points together, I'd appreciate that as well. But first of all, I'd just like to say familiarity breeds contempt, the old cliche, but it's so true in what's going on all across America right now. I believe this country right now is experiencing a severe depletion or malnourishment of ethics. I don't believe anybody, regardless what career they're in, seems to be grounded in ethics the way our ancestors were. And that is fundamental to what's going on. Another point I'd like to make is the Merrill Lynch executive can take $20 million out of his contract. That's legal. Sure, it's legal. But is it ethical? Is it reasonable? No. Blagojevich, he can appoint Burris as the U.S. senator. It's legal, apparently. But is it ethical? But having said that, I'd like to say I'm glad Blagojevich is staying in and fighting this tooth and nail, because by doing so, I believe he's shedding more light on the corruption that exists in Illinois. So that's a good thing. So it's an interesting contrast, an interesting irony, but I believe it's good. The longer he stays in, the better it's going to be for illuminating the corruption in Illinois.
I think your point is well taken. Jim Carville, a couple of weeks ago, was on one of the Sunday morning shows. And he said that every day that Rod Blagojevich stays in office is a horrible day for the Democratic Party.
Agreed.
And it is. And I think Harry Reid, when you have the majority leader of the United States Senate going as far as he did today on national television, basically saying, basically, everybody knows that Blagojevich is corrupt. I mean, this was like a foregone conclusion.
But I take a little issue with the notion that our ancestors were all that ethical. I mean, you know, the lack of ethics seems to be, you know, equally expressed throughout the
slavery.
Era. And there was, you know, slavery and overt discrimination against the people of color. It wasn't an ethical enterprise.
They all had their foibles. How's that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call.
I just said, Bruce.
Yes, follow up.
I'd like to see more politicians elected from counties outside of Cook and outside of DuPage, because it seems year after year, all our top elected officials come from either Cook County or DuPage. Now, I think if we can shift our election process to other counties and jurisdictions, that in itself would do a lot to ending corruption in Illinois.
If I could chime in on that, running against Rod Blagojevich, I carried everything south of I-80. So, all the places, all the counties you're talking about went with me, but they're not populated. So as a result, when you get to Cook and DuPage and Lake, that's the ball game right there. And unless you find some different way of counting numbers, it's going to stay that way.
And Dick Durbin is a downstater.
Yes, he's from
Paul Spurgeon. Simon was a downstater.
Roland Burns is from Centralia.
Although obviously his political pedigree was built here in the county of Cook. In Northern Illinois. Let's go to John listening to us in Chicago. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Great program, as usual, Bruce.
Thank you.
I think Judy mentioned Fitzgerald, but there's a point that you guys haven't really been focusing on, which is sort of like a giant shell game. One reason that Fitzgerald probably arrested Blagojevich when he did was precisely to protect Jesse Jackson Jr. from being a co-conspirator, and one reason they got Valerie Jarrett out of the way was precisely to protect Obama. The more you focus on Blagojevich, the less you focus on Obama and people like Resco. So there's sort of a shell game going on a whole other level where people, the more you focus on Blagojevich, the less you think about, you know, other issues in Chicago. And I certainly do hope these things come out. But one of the problems...
But John, could it be, I mean, the fact that Resco has not yet been sentenced, which is unusual because it's been postponed, I believe, twice now, that to me means... that they're working the case, that he is still talking. The more he talks, the more they learn, coupled with maybe new things that have been learned since the governor's arrest on other issues. I mean, the one thing that I keep saying to everyone, and again, I've been in California the last couple of weeks, and I said to everybody that I ran into who wanted to talk politics, and that is reminding them that what the nation now knows about Rod Blagojevich, which is about, you know, what was on the tapes and the foul-mouth activities of him himself and the First Lady, those are all things that happened in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government's been looking at this guy for almost 3.5-4 years now. So the bigger case, I believe, is still to be made. I would be dumbfounded if there isn't a pot of gold somewhere that's going to send this guy away for a long time,
exactly,
but I don't think
point.
It's necessarily what we've been talking about.
But
I've been
exactly
out of office for
point,
2 years
though.
Now. I've been out of office for 2 years now, and when I was still there, the feds were rolling out his computers. They took the computers out of the office. It took 7 years for the feds and Fitzgerald to get at George Ryan. They were in his office 2 years ago, and they were there long before that. So There's a story yet to be told.
Yeah, but this guy doesn't care about Blagojevich. He cares about Obama and Rahm Emanuel and Jesse Jackson Jr.
But they may drop along the way here. You know, they may all be entwined.
But the thing is, by having it go the impeachment route, you don't have innocent until proven guilty. You don't even need to follow any laws. You can get rid of Blagojevich and have Obama look like a saint because nobody's going to go in.
Maybe he is a saint. Why isn't he a saint? What do you know?
You know, you wouldn't even know with all the focus on Blagojevich that on the 9th of January, Berg citizenship issues are going to go up before the Supreme Court. You wouldn't know it because all the focus is on Blagojevich.
Didn't the Supreme Court toss that at
Reverend Wright's Church?
Didn't the Supreme Court toss the citizenship issue a few weeks ago?
Pardon?
Didn't the Supreme Court toss the citizenship issue
a few weeks ago. They did one, and it's coming back up on the 9th of this month.
And it will be tossed again, my friend.
I think it's a blind alley.
The thing is, which I think is clear, and I know that, you know, you represent callers that call the show periodically or at least once a week, and what I want to basically state is there isn't anything that insofar as relationships are concerned. They've looked into the RESCO thing. The feds haven't found anything yet. Maybe they will, but they haven't found anything yet. And the personal and political relationships between Rod Blagojevich and Obama and Bobby Rush and Obama, these are not close relationships. These people are not close. There isn't even a real close relationship between Mayor Daley and Barack Obama. It's not a close relationship. Now, there's close relationships with David Axelrod. I mean, he is a linchpin that goes to several sources. But, I mean, for people listening around the country that said, all Cook County politics are corrupt, we're seeing a lot of corruption now. But I think it is a mistake. And believe me, if it was not a mistake, I would say it on this show.
They're two extremes, Bruce.
It's a mistake to bring it to Barack Obama's door.
I mean, there's a corrupt stream in Illinois politics, but there's also a reform stream that is very robust as well. And I think Obama comes from that reform
stream. And if you listen to the tapes, what did Blagojevich say?
He said,
and he said all we get from him is appreciation. Right. Well, screw that.
That's kind of a nice thing to have said on the side.
Absolutely.
Tell us about people in Chicago who still to this day are not real happy about Barack Obama as president-elect, Alice Palmer.
Tell
the nation who Alice Palmer is.
Alice Palmer had the seat that Obama, the state Senate seat that Obama took. In fact, she was the one who recommended him initially because she thought he was a progressive force who could take over her seat. She ran against Jesse Jackson for the congressional seat that was available at that time after Mel Reynolds was disgraced. And she lost to Jesse, and she wanted her seat in the state Senate back. Barack said, no, I'm going to run. You suggested I run. I'm going to run. And he disqualified her by questioning her.
Kicked her off the ballot.
Yeah, he kicked off the ballot. And so there's no love lost. Alice has been kind of injured by that encounter. And I think she has policy differences with Barack as well.
She was a Hillary delegate.
Yeah.
She was a Hillary delegate. And there are many people in the activist community who are beginning to question Barack Obama. And I think that this Burris thing really indicates the first rift that you see. And there's a lot of pressure for these guys who are pushing for Burris to ease off by supporters of Barack nationwide who are saying, hey, man, you're causing division in the black community. We don't want to see that at this point. But I think that the horse is out of the barn.
The horse is out of the barn, and it is a party, and the orchestra isn't all playing the same tune. Back shortly from Chicago.
I do like to tell jokes. My jokes are pretty corny.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
Knock, knock. Who's there? And it'll be Cal. And he'll say, Cal Moo.
His Match.com username is Junkfoodie, and you can email him right now.
It's never really that funny, but it's so corny they laugh anyway.
With 20,000 new people joining every day, we guarantee you'll find someone special in 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com today for details.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday. And my personal favorite, easy squeezy lemon peasy.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
From Sacramento, California to Saugonash, Illinois, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. Two calls in just a moment. Salim Uwakil, I briefly discussed this with you in hour number one, but I want to take a few moments to kind of expand the conversation. What does the election of Barack Obama mean to the black communities of America? and specifically the black communities of Chicago. How is that impacted by all of this mess involving Blagojevich and Roland Burris and all of the nitty-gritty skullduggery that is part of this process right now?
Well, I think nationally, much of the black community simply wishes it would all go away. That take care of that stuff in Chicago and let Barack do his thing.
Let Barack be Barack.
Let Barack be Barack. In Chicago, it's a little more complicated because of these various connections that we talked a little bit about earlier. And I think that, a lot of it, some of it leaked out when Jesse made these so-called off-mic remarks about Barack looking down on black people. There's a fear that President Obama will be overly deferential to the white establishment and not pay attention to the issues in the black community. And there's a growing concern about that, and there's a growing effort to force him to be more forthright in dealing with issues that impact the black community directly. And a lot of that is coming from Chicago activists.
And again, for those who tuned in late, Roland Burris, who may be the next United States Senator from Illinois, he's certainly the choice of the governor. The U.S. Senate may be stuck with him, whether they want him or not. But the reality is he comes from a very quiet, soft-spoken. He's a man of the machine that's moved his way up, came from corporate America, corporate banking America. He's a button-down tie guy. I mean, he's a clean-cut, articulate businessman, always was, always will be.
He's an unlikely hero for black activism.
He's a very unlikely hero. My question is, because he wants the job badly, I don't think anybody at the table questions, he really wants this. This really is the cherry on his political sundae, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Will he seize the moment and become the man of the community like he never did in his entire political career?
Absolutely. That's the role that he's playing right now. In fact, as we're speaking, he is probably delivering a speech to a very enthusiastic crowd of supporters who would never be a supporter of Roland Burris were he not in this particular position. It's a surrogate issue for these fears that I was talking about earlier. He's a black candidate who will make sure that there's a black man in the Senate and that the issues of the black community will be spoken to.
Will be instantly a black United States Senator for all America, not just Chicago.
Indeed.
Which was the role that Barack Obama had, but a soft-spoken member.
Right, and ironically, if he does get in, which he probably will, he will be equally as soft-spoken.
And he'll be there, unlike Obama.
You believe? No.
Yeah. Although this may be an opportunity for him to assume a different persona. He may be a lot more aggressive than he is temperamentally. He may be.
I think he will.
Because
I think what will happen is he will be free at 71 mm-hmm. years of age. He will have paid his dues. He will now be able to really say it like he wants
but,
to be
but
said.
But does he want to run?
The question is, does he want to run again? Or, and here's my next question, because we always play this question in the city of all this game in the city of Chicago. If he ran for re-election and lost, would he be in line to run for mayor?
No.
No, he'd be
never.
Too old. He'd be too old by
too
that
old
time.
Too old, and he's just not the type. He just, you know.
The last time he ran, it was.
He still was.
He wasn't.
There should be an African American senator. There should be, but to go at it this way, via Burris, it just.
There are so many folks
I see in that job who would be activists who are strong, who would really put the role of the community out
you have
there.
To take
in front.
What you can get.
I suppose.
Whatever happened to Carol Moseley Braun?
She is. I had her on my little radio program. She is selling organic coffee and tea. There you go.
She had her moment. and her moment passed.
And, you know, Barack Obama said if she had thrown her hat in the ring for the U.S. Senate, he wouldn't have run. We would be looking at a totally different constellation.
All sorts of things happened. You know, although you could have a wonderful candidate, in order to succeed, you have to have a lot of luck. The timing has to be perfect.
Right.
And everything in front of Barack Obama kind of fell away. There was like a horseshoe in his back pocket.
Everything.
And it just did, and it's just the way it fell. And he took advantage of it. And he was smart enough to know how to do it.
I'm suggesting that what we may have with Roland Burris is we may have Star a 71-year-old
firebrand.
Oh, please.
I don't think so.
I don't know that I can handle that.
I think he just wants the appointment.
Please,
he wants to be in there for 2 years. He wants
that
to put it on his stove.
That would be so
he
surreal.
I think that, now let me finish my point here. I think we have a 71-year-old man who wants to go to the United States Senate, who wants to fill out that tombstone that, you know, and it is etched, by the way. We're not making this up. His whole resume is on a mausoleum, which he's already paid for. This is not, we're not making this up.
The old Ramesses the second
thing.
This is
a true story if you're listening around the country. But what I'm saying is, once he gets that, I think the other thing that he may want in his heart, you know, as he heads towards the mid-70s, he may want to be that real man of the people that Harold Washington was. A person who came from an upper middle class element within the black community to be a man of all the people. And by doing that, he will be far more left. He will be far more populist. He'll be far more expansive, maybe in black national-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the other thing.
That sounds plausible, Bruce. It does.
Very plausible. In fact, I'm going to predict it right here on this program.
Well, then, but won't he worry about getting reelected? Because Barack Obama...
Being reelected may not be that important to him.
Because Barack Obama is already worried about it. And you can see it in
a lot of his decisions.
Yeah. And we'll see. Yeah, he's up for reelection, too. And we'll see what he does on the Gaza, Middle East situation, Barack Obama.
Well, periodically, when we discuss that, when we worry about those silly things.
And we also haven't talked about Bill Richardson.
Bill Richardson, who has already announced that he's stepping aside because of the investigations into his conduct as governor of New Mexico. Let's go to Richard in Long Grove. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
The point that I was making before was when the comment was made that there was no real connection. It was a very casual connection between Barack Obama and Blagojevich. Whereas, in fact, it's always been my impression from things I've read and heard over the radio and over the TV, various announcements, the fact that Blagojevich's co-chairman and running for his governorship was both Emanuel and Obama. You know, Mr. Obama has come up.
Correct.
Pardon me?
That's not correct.
That's not correct?
No, it's not correct.
Well, they were.
Rahm Emanuel boasted about how they had a meeting every week or every 2 weeks, and then he had to dial back on that because it was exaggerated. And that's Rahm Emanuel.
Right.
But the point is, you know, I'm from the South Side. I know how, the politicians are all intertwined in the South Side and throughout the city, too. And everyone knows everything. And to think that, my estimation, what's going on here is they can't afford to have anything get out and a real deep investigation to go into this situation here, because it would bring into play too many interconnecting bad things, just like the Richardson thing. You know, there's so many things going on with politicians. They don't call this the crookedest state in the country politically.
The interconnectivity that I think you're referring to, however, in my view, is not something that's going to take you to Barack Obama's front door. Now, it may, I'll tell you, if this continues to unravel, because Rod Blagojevich is at a point where he knows a lot, and you know what, he's a guy, if he's going down, He's going to take some people with him.
He's a wounded animal.
And I would say, and I would also say that of all the people that have, you know, that were arrested, watch John Harris, the chief of staff for the governor, who was also chief of staff and budget director for the mayor. You watch, because Harris, if Harris starts to sing, he can bring down the fifth floor at City Hall. And that's where the Justice Department, if they really want to look, that's where they can look, okay? So there's a lot of scared politicians out here, but Rod Blagojevich, as we have just witnessed, this is a guy who's not afraid to walk up to the majority leader of the U.S. Senate and stick his thumb in his eye and basically flip the bird to the entire United States Senate. And I don't mean Bobby Bird. He's willing to do that, so you know what? The tighter the noose gets around Rod Blagojevich's neck, the more this guy's going to sing, and there's a lot of politicians, including those at City Hall, that will not sleep comfortably at night. I'm Bruce Dumont.
You know, one of my favorite places to sing is my car.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
A 1962 Cadillac on a long road trip. I mean, what else are you going to do?
He's Match.com member Crooner Cool, and you can email him right now.
Baby.
With 20,000 new people joining every day, we guarantee you'll find someone special in 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com today for details.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh, guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us. A question that we asked earlier in the broadcast, I want to get everybody's response to it, however. And that is, because of the Burris situation, because of the growth of the support within the African-American community, for those listening around the country, Salim, and again, a couple of people in California said that to me, well, why does it automatically mean that the guy who replaces him has got to be black? What's the answer to that?
Well, that's Senator Obama was the only black senator. Before him, Senator Carol Mosley Braun was the only black senator. Before her, Senator Edward Brooke was the only black senator. And there's only been these three black senators in the history of this country. And
but American people just promoted a black senator to be president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a wonderful accomplishment, and I think it indicates the maturity of this country that to be able to do something like that, but it still doesn't really deal with these kinds of institutional imbalances that continue to thwart African Americans.
But in Cook County, again, for those listening around the country, it's the third largest county in the United States. Mm-hmm. There is an entitlement that the president of the Cook County Board, who is African American, has got to be African American. So I mean, you know, the Secretary of State has now been African American, both nationally and certainly we're talking about in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it automatically mean that only blacks can replace blacks in elected positions? I mean, isn't that rather 19th century or 18th century or 17th century?
You know, it's only been in the very recent 20th century that black people could be elected. And so there's still an attempt to compensate for all of those years of these obstructions to black electoral success and the kinds of
Do you think it's an entitlement? I mean, do you personally think it's an entitlement that there has to be a black United States senator because a United States senator was elected by the people who happened to be black?
I don't think entitlement is the right way to phrase it. I think that this country should be aware and sensitive to these issues of representation, and we should do all we can to ensure
Carol,
that that's,
you know,
that
Illinois is distinguished by having sent two African Americans to the Senate, number one. Number two, Obama, on the list that he sent via Rahm Emanuel, he had whites on that list, Schakowsky, Congresswoman Schakowsky, and Tammy Duckworth.
Valerie Jarrett was
also
the only one.
Also,
he did not have Jesse Jackson Jr.
No, he had some press criticism
on
that
but
basis.
But also, if you listen to what,
if
you listen to what's going on in New York, I've heard intelligent people say that that seat's got to go to a woman, and because Hillary's giving it up, and so it's just, you know, you hear it, it's the same thing.
I mean, and you can make the female
and that's why Caroline
Kennedy,
which
is why there were so many women who were of a certain age who supported Hillary Clinton, and I think we're very unhappy. They may or may not be on the Barack bandwagon still because they really felt in their lifetime they would have liked to have seen a female president because, frankly, there's nobody in the pipeline out there now to accomplish this unless it would be a female vice president and the president would either die or be incapacitated and she'd move up.
Has the Roland Burris bandwagon, has it gone so far down the highway now?
No.
That if there is a change in government, and Patrick Quinn becomes the governor, is Patrick Quinn, in your view, politically speaking now, just politically, will Pat Quinn appoint Roland Burris?
No, I think he still can appoint someone else. And again, as we said earlier, it would certainly be a favor to the U.S. Senate because there is that precedent of being able to choose between two candidates, two opposing candidates
what does
in
it
the
do
same
to,
office.
What does it do to Pat Quinn's political career?
I think Pat Quinn will get a run for his money anyway. He's always wanted to be governor. I mean, when I became treasurer, I found behind one of the filing cabinets all of some of his prototype stuff of Pat Quinn for governor. So he's always wanted to be governor.
What's the answer to that question?
I think Pat Quinn would attempt to be contrarian and resist the pressure to appoint Burris. He would probably appoint someone like Dan Seals. I think he would try to get someone who is black, though. I think he would.
And a young fellow ready to go.
Right. Or this guy, Will Burns, is that his name?
No,
Will
I think
Burns?
He would do.
He would appoint an African-American.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Do?
Oh, I sure
don't.
Do.
He could, and he could do
I mean,
that,
I,
and
I
then
think,
he
I
would
think
mitigate
the wisest
the
thing
question.
To do would
but
be,
Dan Seals would be a wonderful alternative. And he's electable. He's done well up in an area where it's pretty much a Republican.
He's a loser. He's lost twice.
Yeah, but he comes close in an area that he shouldn't be able to win at all.
Exactly right.
Well,
and
he hasn't.
Well, but at all,
he's come very
close.
Tammy Duckworth.
Tammy Duckworth, I think she would be a good choice. And
Tammy
I think
Duckworth
of,
would have been the next United States Senator from Illinois had Patrick Quinn become governor in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
But right
that's
now,
probably true.
The bandwagon is out there. Roland Burris, if and when.
Even if Quinn came if,
he could, she
you,
could
you
still
think
do
he would
it,
appoint
think?
Burris?
If and when.
She could still do it.
Or when and if Pat Quinn becomes the governor of Illinois, he will reaffirm the appointment of Roland Burris to the U.S.
Okay. All right.
Right. And she is a minority, too, understand. She's not African-American, but she is an Asian.
She has a wonderful story. She's a double amputee.
And
served
she's a
veteran.
And, she's, you know.
And if Blagojevich didn't need to be as Machiavellian in order to make the state Senate and the U.S. Senate look like a bunch of idiots, he would have, I think Tammy Duckworth got his appointment to be his veteran affairs person. Mm-hmm. I think he would have probably liked to have appointed her. Not that she could have given him anything in return, but he doesn't have any money.
I think it's still
remember one thing, folks. Remember the jury pool.
Yeah.
Remember the jury pool.
Boy.
You heard
Machiavelli.
You
heard
may
it
not
from
have heard it here
Machiavelli.
First. You may not have heard it here first. But remember the jury pool.
Valid point.
And keep your eye on the Machiavellian governor of Illinois. Judy Bartopinka, you wanted that job. You would have been a great job. We would have been talking about positive things.
Yeah, you wouldn't be having all this garbage
going on. Selected you. Yeah. Although probably you wouldn't have been doing the show tonight. You'd say,
oh, no, I'd be doing it. I still like to always talk to press.
Salim Owakil from In These Times, senior editor. Thank you very much for being with us. And Carol Felsenthal, always a pleasure to have you on our broadcast as well. Our thanks to Tom Veracruz and Ben Stewart for their assistance in the production of this program until next week. This is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
With the economic crisis we're facing today, families must take a serious look at their investments to ensure they have protection for their financial future. It's never been more important for you to diversify, to add strength and security to your financial portfolio, and that includes gold. I'm Mark Albarian, president of Goldline. We've been assisting our clients acquire gold and precious metals for nearly 50 years. With stock market volatility, multiple bank failures, and government bailouts, we're in a historic period of economic instability. In these uncertain times, smart investors are looking to diversify and are turning to gold as a safe haven asset that they can count on to bring real value to their portfolio. Call Goldline today at 866-GOLDLINE, and we'll send you a free gold investment kit, a free DVD, and a free copy of our newsletter on gold investing. Protect your family's savings today and call Goldline at 866-GOLDLINE. That's 866-465-3546. Call 866-GOLDLINE today.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
I do like to tell jokes. My jokes are pretty corny.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
Knock, knock. Who's there? And it'll be Cal. And I'll say, Cal Moo.
His Match.com username is Junkfoodie, and you can email him right now.
It's never really that funny, but it's so corny they laugh anyway.
With 20,000 new people joining every day, we guarantee you'll find someone special in 6 months, or we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com today for details.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge your premium to your credit card. It's easy, and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.